This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Messages from Within, Finding Meaning in Your Life Experiences, and the author, Kathleen O'Malley. And Kathleen joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Steve.
You're going to take us on quite a journey of introspection based on your experiences, and they are very, very challenging experiences, and you will get into those details in a moment. Let me read just a couple of things that you've written just to help everyone have a general, broad view of what we're going to discuss. You say, this book is about being mindful about what it means to truly live and allow your experiences and your inner voice to direct you, even when the path seems unclear or uncertain. Also, your book draws readers into your experience through a compelling story and invites them to take a closer look at their own experiences, while empowering them to create changes in their own lives. Well, this book, I guess the genesis of it is because of your 9 pregnancies without being able to give birth. Is that the underlying genesis of this whole book?
Yes, close. We do have an 8-year-old daughter who was our second pregnancy, but she was also born prematurely, but yes, everything worked out well with her. But let me just say, Steve, that I have led a grace-filled life, and it really took writing this book for me to truly see just how beautifully my life has unfolded in light of everything I've ever experienced. And so that is what compels me to truly want to help others in their journey and to make sense of their own lives. So just to, you know, to give you some background about 6 years ago, my husband and I were expecting our second daughter. And for the second time in my life, that is, you know, when I experienced another premature delivery. But this time it was extremely early and our daughter died shortly after birth. But when I thought I had come to terms with this loss, I was determined to do what many had, you know, said that we should do, to try again. Which we did, but then there were, you know, all these other unexplainable losses. And, you know, I'm someone who has always felt deeply connected to God and believed that anything was possible. But during this time, you know, nothing really seemed to make sense to me anymore. And there wasn't any medical explanation for why this kept happening. And, you know, as a chiropractor myself, I have been able to help many women throughout their pregnancies by using an integrative approach to health. So, you know, why couldn't I find a definite solution in my case? You know, where was my miracle? And, you know, I saw many other holistic practitioners who offered great tools, but again, no concrete answers. But, you know, when I started to ask different questions, such as, you know, who am I really and what do I truly believe? You know, people started showing up in my life, and in my search to better understand myself and, you know, just to make sense of my life, I wanted to know about my true parentage. And, you know, for the first time, I learned the true nature of my own birth. And this was just 3.5 years ago. I was 35 at the time. And with that came another whirlwind of emotions. But that discovery also opened my heart and my mind to just a different way of looking at my life and at my experiences. Back in the, it was the fall of 2008, I was invited to join a women's book group. And the book they were reading at the time was Louise Hay's You Can Heal Your Life. And, you know, in one particular chapter, there's a list of problems and their probable causes based on her teachings on thought patterns and how negative thoughts can create problems in the body. And when I looked up miscarriages and spontaneous abortion, the associated negative thought with fear. And at that time, I didn't connect to this. I just couldn't see it in my life. But in writing this book and looking back at, you know, my old journals, I found that there were just so many instances where I had written about being afraid or wanting to release my fears. And there was also a guided meditation last summer that helped me to see how deeply rooted this fear was. It was a group meditation with my PRH growth educator. And PRH is an education that I often refer to in my book that teaches you how to connect to and develop your being, or the heart of who you are. And the intention of this meditation was to lead us back to the moment of our conception, our original self, our pure essence, before any external conditioning. But in doing so, I experienced a sense of panic because of the way I came into this physical world. And what I now recognize is that you know, so many of us carry fear and other emotions within us without even realizing just how much of a hold or the effects that these stored emotions can have on us. But when we begin to take a closer look at our inner world and truly see how our lives have unfolded and, you know, just recognize the pure miracle of our existence, you know, then we can begin to release these unsupported fears. So this book has evolved similarly to how my journey has unfolded. When I first started writing, I was, you know, I was so determined to find the exact cause of preterm labor and have a full-term pregnancy and spare other women the grief of losing a child, but that didn't happen. But I still wanted to be a compassionate voice for women who have shared a similar experience. You know, our society does not give us permission to grieve, especially when it comes to pregnancy loss or when a child dies shortly after birth. But, you know, the most common response seems to be, you know, you can try again. But what many don't realize is that wherever there is already a sense of connection, there is love. And when that connection is lost, there is such an intense pain that comes from that loss. And it was important for me to help others to begin to recognize this. But what I never imagined is that I would, you know, be sharing entries from my personal journals or talk about my childhood experiences or my, you know, my visits from my deceased grandmother in my dreams, or, you know, even about my continued connection with my children who have passed on. You know, these are just things I just never thought that I would write about.
Right.
But I also find it fascinating that just all of, you know, my whole experience have led me back to fulfilling one of my earliest dreams. In my first journal, I have it right here with me, my childhood diary, I wrote that I would one day write a book. And what I never imagined is that I would write a book that would be based on my life experiences in any way, and that I would share entries from this same diary. But my intention is truly to empower others to trust in their inner wisdom and begin to find purpose and meaning in their lives. And it's, you know, they don't have to look very far. You really just have to stop and take that time to look and truly connect with yourself and listen to the insights that absolutely do come.
Are some people just born with resilience, or is it something that anyone can develop?
You know, there may be genetic components to resilience, but I believe that anyone can practice and develop resilience. You can begin to face your changes and the challenges that come into your life with excitement, truly, rather than fear. And, you know, it does take changing your perspective and beginning to ask different questions, as opposed to focusing on the situation or the circumstance. You truly have to begin to focus on yourself in the situation and the circumstance. You can ask, you know, what can I do now in this moment, or how can I live this situation better? you know, we are all creative beings with inherent gifts and inner strengths, and it's really the struggles that often allow us to recognize our hidden gifts.
Yeah, so many people are resistant to change, but as you're explaining, we must embrace change.
Absolutely. You know, so often we resist change because we're afraid of disappointment or what is unknown. We don't want to risk uncertainty. But what I've learned through my experience is that, you know, the great thing about uncertainty is that it means that, you know, anything is possible. You know, there many times we're told, you know, the odds are in your favor, and then we don't get the expected outcome. And then there are other times we beat the odds only by, you know, the grace of God. So, you know, that's the true beauty of life, knowing that, you know, anything and everything is possible.
Well, you mentioned you've always felt connected with God, and you also write that you weren't brought up in a religious home, but you share about a group meditation in which you saw yourself with God. And what did you get out of that?
Yes, you know, like this was the same meditation I spoke of earlier, where I experienced a sense of panic as I approached the moment of my conception. So what I did was I just forged my way beyond that moment, back to my origination in God's heart. And I saw myself as a light, and God was holding me in his left hand. And I heard this gentle voice, you know, say, my child, I want to send you into this world, and the path may not seem easy, but know that you are my child and that I love you, and that you will become all that you are meant to be. And, you know, as overwhelming as this all was, I mean, this was a group meditation, and I had to share right after. So this was truly an overwhelming experience. And, you know, at the same time, there was such a great sense of understanding that my original self knew the path that I would take, and I still said yes to it. And, you know, that my faith, you know, would guide me through. So that was, you know, just really a beautiful experience. And I never thought that I would find a reason for the way I came into this world. But had I not come into the world under the circumstances I did, I would not have experienced this as well.
And so many people deal with pain and don't know how to make sense out of it. And
absolutely.
And what I hear you saying, that this life is like a school.
It truly is. And we get to decide what we give meaning to in our lives. You know, I know there are some people who believe that, you know, life has no meaning and we're just meant to get through it with as little pain as possible. But we truly get to decide, you know, what's important to us, and we know what feels completely true to us. So, you know, as for me, I know that life is truly magical because I believe it to be so, and my hope and my dream is for us to all evolve to a place of living connected to the heart of who we really are, and teaching our children to do the same.
In your book, you also include a letter that you wrote to your biological father.
Yes, I did. You know, I was at a retreat center, and I started, you know, just having visions and about him. And, you know, I sat down, and I wrote a letter to him, and just pretty much saying, you know, you knew of me. But I don't know you, and that, you know, I don't love you, but I don't despise you either. And this is how I felt at the time when I was writing it. And I was just hoping that the best of him was in me. And that was all, really. It was a very short letter. And then actually almost a whole year later, it was in March, I was preparing for a book signing, and I was looking through my book, and I thought I'd read some of the life messages at the end of each chapter that I had shared. But somehow I, you know, came across that letter, and I read it again, and this time there was just an overwhelming sense of love. Like I just, you know, I still can't put it truly into words, but I was just so overwhelmed. But it felt so peaceful and so light. And I sat down. There was just a lot of emotion, and I sat down and I wrote a different letter that I share on my blog. And I just pretty much, you know, said that I didn't realize, you know, that I needed your love, but you did. And it just, for the first time, I realized that where he is healed, and that he's not the same person that he was when he was here in the physical. So it was just, I just felt a sense of forgiveness for him, and realized that it's truly never too late to forgive. And as we've heard, you know, many times before, it's truly something that we do for ourselves, and that, you know, that sets us free. So that was just another blessing that's come out of writing this book, that was intended for others, but it's, you know, there's just been so much that, that I've, you know, that's helped continue to help me in my journey.
We've been listening to Kathleen O'Malley. She is the author of her book, Messages from Within, Finding Meaning in Your Life Experiences. Kathleen, tell us how to get your book.
Well, my book is currently available through Balboa Press, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and can be ordered through any local bookseller, I believe. And readers can continue to follow me on my blog at KathleenO'MalleyDC.com. Because as you will learn from reading my book, my story does continue.
Well, thank you, Kathleen, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you, Steve.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on TogiNet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out our website, LaBellaVitaCosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski. A live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, The Change, and the author is Darlene McKenna. And Darlene joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Crossbooks. Hello, Darlene.
Hi, how are you, Steve?
Well, great to have you with us. We're going to talk about this memoir, your personal memoir. But first, I just want to read a summary of what your book is about. You say this: a teenage girl on drugs and blacking out on alcohol leads to shame, rape, and attempted suicide. Will she ever find peace? The voice in her head constantly tells her that she is no good. God cares for her and continues to show her real signs that he loves her. She finally feels it, and today she has been changed. So thus the title of the book, The Change. You started out and it was rough, but you've come into your own today. Let's go back, Darlene. Tell us about those early beginnings. You were brought up in a dysfunctional home.
I was, and my mom tried really hard, and she had to work a lot, and she loved us. It's just when she went to punish us, she wasn't home, so then I just found myself doing things on my own, and so the discipline wasn't really there, even though she cared with all her heart. And I definitely made some bad choices, and so I just, the reason why I write this book is because I know a lot of kids are in homes where both parents are working today, and I know that, you know, parents do care, but sometimes we need to go to other resources to know that we're loved and know that, you know, we have a purpose in life. And I wish I knew then that, you know, God definitely loves us and he cares for us. And I just now know that. And my heart just is burdened to help teenagers and to help women that have had bad pasts that go through negative feelings, negative thoughts all the time, that God does love us and he will forgive us for any mistakes that we have made.
Now, your father didn't help much as well. He seemed to buy beer for you.
Yes, as a teenager, he would buy us beer and let us party with him. And so even looking up to my father, he wasn't a good role model. And he didn't live with us. He left us when I was 3. So when he came around when I was a teenager, I was excited and thinking that, you know, he would show me some care and love, but instead he encouraged me to do things that were not correct.
Now, as you look back on your life, you always loved music, though it took you a while to eventually get where you are today with music, but back then you didn't believe your life had any purpose.
I did not, and I just made one bad choice after another, and I just continued to go down this pathway that had destructive behaviors, and I just felt a lot of shame from my mistakes, and I didn't know how to talk to anybody, and I just didn't know how to ask for help.
So the voice that you often heard, which you say Satan, was just telling you you weren't worth anything.
Right, and I just constantly would hear in my voice that I was no good and that nobody liked me, and every time I made a mistake, it would just repeat over and over, and look what you did last night, and everybody's laughing at you, and you're ugly, you're fat, and even though a lot of these things were not true, I would believe these lies, and so my self-esteem became very low, and I was very insecure.
When do you think that some new voice, or you started hearing a better voice? So what happened? How did you get in more control of your life?
Well, I think I had some really bad things happen to me, and I could read you a couple of scenes. Like one example would be the bad guy came into my head and gladly said, "That's it, Darlene, get high. That's what this life is all about." I thumbed up to Pelham and went out with Lynn and Deb. Before the night ended, we had met some guys, and they asked us if we wanted to go to a hotel room. Lynn answered, "Sure we do, but we need some pizza and some more beer." The guy said, "No problem." We were all in the room, and I kept popping little white pills and drinking more beer. The night kept rolling, and I took another 6 when no one was looking. And then I was on my 3rd set of 6. Lynn stopped me as I was about to take my last one. She asked me, "Darlene, how many have you taken?" I just said, "I think this makes 17 hits of speed. Let's party." Hours later, everyone was done partying, and they were all sleeping. I was the only one still awake. It was now 4 o'clock in the morning, and all I felt was my heart pounding. Boom, boom, boom. It felt like it was going to explode. I couldn't sleep. I heard the cars out on the road, and I thought to myself, "I'm probably going to die." My heart just keeps pounding. It's going so fast. I jumped off the chair and I was on the floor crying. I noticed the flashing lights on the CVS store, and then I prayed, oh God, please, I don't want to die. Let me live. I'm scared. God, I don't want to die now, I said out loud. Boom, boom, boom. The power of the beating began to slow down a little. I thought to myself, maybe I will live. Oh, thank you, God. Maybe I will live. And even after a situation like this, it just wasn't enough. I continued to make bad choices. So one of my lowest points in my life was I was actually thrown out of a house with no clothes on. And this brought a lot of shame. And my friends that I were hanging out with decided to go to rehab, and I didn't. And so I ended up finding myself at home, and I had quit high school. And so I was just hanging out with my mom a lot, and I'd watch TV, but I really wasn't talking to my mom about what I had gone through. And so one night I just asked God, I said the serenity prayer, and God grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change. And I just said, finished that prayer, and I just put my head on the pillow and cried and wanted to change. I just didn't know how. And one day I decided to walk up near the high school, and I decided to try to make a change. I went through the front doors of the high school, and I asked the guidance counselor if I could go back to school, and they let me. And so then my life became changed somewhat, because I finished 12th grade and I graduated high school. And at the end of that year, unfortunately, something else bad happened, and I went to a party, and I ended up getting in a big fight, and it ended up in me hitting a girl over her head with a beer bottle. And so, of course, nobody would talk to me after that, and I thumbed to the hospital to see if she was okay. I was sorry. I had been under the influence. I was using drugs and drinking, and I sat there in the hospital all night, and I was just waiting, and they never came out to the waiting room, and the bad guy just said, you know, that they knew you were out there. They just didn't want to talk to you. So I leave the hospital, and I end up, you know, wanting to walk home. Well, I walked back to the beach, and I didn't want to put myself in any danger. And all of a sudden, this guy was checking me out in a car that was passing me by, and he basically made me nervous. And so I said to myself, the next car that comes by, I'll thumb. And then I thumbed, and this guy picked me up, and I went to myself, oh no, I hope this isn't the same car. I wasn't really that good with cars, and I didn't know. And unfortunately, I think it was the same guy, and I ended up being raped. And so in my mind, I was thinking I was being punished for everything that I had done that was so bad as a teenager. And so it took me years to get out of these negative feelings, even after, thank goodness, I found a beautiful husband, and his name's Paul, and we were married and had three beautiful children. And my family, you know, they always accepted me even after my mistakes, and they were very happy that I was making changes. But on the inside, my mind and my heart, I just couldn't deal with my past. And then during our marriage, a few things happened, and my father had been murdered, and my children, two of them, had muscular dystrophy, well, a form of it. It's called Charcot-Marie Tooth. And so I just came to a point in my life where I thought nothing was worthwhile, and I couldn't face life. I was depressed, and so I decided to go to church. And then I was just, you know, working as a church secretary there, and the pastor there was really nice, and he'd listen to my conversations and stuff. And I just started asking questions like, are you really there, God? And God just started answering me in different ways, and he definitely gave me signs. And even though he gave me signs, I was still a skeptical. I read The Case of Christ like 3 times, and I just didn't believe that it was really real, even though I was, you know, going to Bible studies, and I was asking all the questions. My favorite question was, is Jesus really real? And then eventually things happened in the church, and I had conflicts, because all churches, you know, we're all just human. None of us are perfect. Even when we say we give our lives to Jesus, we all still make mistakes. And so there's mistakes within the church body too. And so I was hurt, and there was conflict, and we decided to leave this church. And then I went to another church, and God continued to give me signs that he loved me. And it's just, it's amazing, because I came to one point in my walk with, or you could call it my journey, it took like 20 years, I finally realized that I knew about Jesus, and I was reading the Bible, and I was doing everything, but I was still following my own desires. I was still pursuing my dream, and my dream was to become famous and become a singer and a piano player, and you'll see a lot of that in the book. It has a lot to do with some music and things like that, too, and it's just, I finally realized that it was, I was thinking I was the one that was making my will. I was the one that was making my destiny happen. If I practiced enough, I did well. If I didn't, I didn't do well. And I was always striving and to go forward and get better, and I'm very strong and I'm disciplined, and God, thank you, God. He gave me the gift of that, but I never gave him, I never accepted the fact that he really loves me. And that was the turning point, and you'll see this in the book. It's just amazing, because now I know that God died for me on a cross, but he loves me, and it's not about serving one's desires, and it's not about getting your dreams, and, you know, it's more about accepting the fact that somebody loves you so much that they want the best for you. He, you know, in the Bible, he has great plans for us, and I think I have some scripture in front of me. I'm speaking from my heart. I love God, and I'm telling you, the more I learn about him, I read in the Bible every day for an hour and a half, and I know he's real. And 20 years ago, I would say I was a Christian, but I didn't know he was real. Today, I do. And one of the best scriptures in the world is Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, "Do I know the plans I have for you? Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And believe me, I wish I went to God when I was 15 years old, and I didn't. But I'm here now, and I know that God has a purpose for all of us, and I did go through a lot of stuff, but I'm so thankful that I'm here today to hopefully, you know, with this book, with this memoir, I hope it touches and prays. And I pray that I pray every day for it to touch people's hearts. Not just teenagers, but even women that are older, and even some gentlemen have actually read the book and have liked it. So I think my goal for the book is just for it to make them curious for God, and just for the reader to be willing to, you know, think about it and open the Word and just see and search for themselves. Because once you realize that God has given us, a Savior, His life, your life changes, your worldview changes. You think eternally, you think nothing is about material things, nothing's about striving. All it's about is loving one another and trying to reach others to let them know what you've done, you know, or what you've received. And what we've received is God's love. And it's so exciting. It's like that's what you want to do. You just want to talk to people about it. And even though this book took me a couple of years to write, I'm thankful that I did it. And I'm thankful that, you know, I've had the chance to write it. And hopefully it will touch many.
Well, there are key messages throughout your book. You've kind of talked about these. I just wanted to kind of sum it up as we close out this interview with Darlene McKenna about her book, The Change. You say God cares for all of us. God wants us to be honest with him. If we want to change, we need to ask God for help. Ignore Satan, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. God will always give us strength if we focus on him. Well, congratulations, Darlene. Fantastic, obviously, points to make and principles by which we should live, and you've turned your life around, and that's a great accomplishment, and I'm sure you'll be a great benefit to many who read your book. Tell us, Darlene, how to get your book.
You can purchase it through Crossbooks. You can purchase it through West Bow Press, also Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. You can get it in hardcover, softcover, or ebook.
Well, thank you, Darlene, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you, Steve, and I hope you have a nice night.
Thank you, and this interview has been brought to everyone by Crossbooks.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Want to be challenged in a powerful way to leap beyond what you think is possible?
Then join us Mondays for the Leah Jansen Show. Every Monday at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com with Leah Jansen. Listen live as life coach Leah uses her coaching skills to give you the tools you need to take action and create momentum. You are encouraged to call in and share your greatest fears, challenges, and obstacles. And then listen as Leah obliterates those barriers to success. For more on Leah and the show, check out her website, LeahJansen.com. That's Leah, LeahJansen.com. Spend 1 hour with Leah, and you'll be captivated by her energy, enthusiasm, and magnetism. You'll quickly become addicted to her positive attitude and make-it-happen mentality. Ready for a life-changing, mood-altering show? Then get ready for Leah Jansen. And listen live to The Leah Jansen Show every Monday morning at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears, just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole O'Dell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Approaching the Corporate Heart, Breaking Through to New Horizons of Personal and Professional Success. And the author, Margot Cans. And Margot joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Margot.
Oh, hi, Steve.
Great to have you with us all the way from Australia. It's just like you're right here in the studio with us.
Yeah, Byron Bay, Australia. Beautiful day here, too.
Well, let me read what you've written about your book. This is, at one time you said your book that was released, Simon & Schuster, a while back, was kind of ahead of its time, and now the time is right, because we're talking about the heart to have success. You say this, the book places you on the hero's journey to personal, community, and organizational success in ways that enhance ecological and human resiliency. In addition to producing corporate success, this journey can be fun, exciting, and personally enriching. I think another thing that I liked what you had written that makes your book different, this book links business life with personal development and spirituality. Now, you don't hear much about spirituality usually in the business world.
Is that a question?
Well, that was just a comment. So, Margot, tell us about your background. You have been very, very successful around the world. Tell us, give us a little glimpse of what you've accomplished and why you have re-released this book.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Well, my first success actually was a place called Portland Aluminium Smelter, which was the largest aluminium smelter in the Southern Hemisphere. And it had incredible industrial unrest. The first time I visited the smelter, I had to get in through a picket line. And people were dying of industrial asthma. There's a lot of pollution around the plant. And after I'd been working there 18 months, it became the world benchmark for an aluminium smelter. It won awards for the relationships between management and staff. They developed a natural wetlands around the plant, and it won international awards for what it did in the environment. They worked in the community, and they won international awards for what they'd done with their relationships with the community. It was an absolute showpiece. And what I realized then is if you work differently, you actually can have it all. Corporations, instead of being these ugly giants that terrify and make people angry, can actually become the friends of the community and much loved. And what I noticed is that what this did for the leaders of that plant is it gave them huge self-esteem. It made them much happier at home and with each other at work. They loved coming to work. So once I'd done that, I got headhunted to go all around the world and do it with other large companies. So this is the work I've now been doing for well over 2 decades. And it just works, Steve. It just works. And because of my books, I've been invited to speak at things, you know, World Economic Forum events and the 2020 conference which the Australian government held. I've won a number of awards. But why I'm really wanting to release this book now is people are cranky after the GFC. You know, we have young people in the streets with the Occupy movement, and it doesn't have to be that way. There is a solution, and the book has it.
Well, and you have an interesting view, a very unique view of the Occupy movement. Here are mostly young people, frustrated, a lot of them angry, and unfortunately causing even violence and injury. It's not a good way to communicate, but at the same time, you're saying somehow we should listen to them.
Yeah, well, you know, at World Economic Forum events, I've been on the other side of large demonstrations. In fact, I was in a bus that the tens of thousands of young people were trying to overturn. And all I could feel was, I wonder what they're trying to say. Now, they've got a message, and I remember one of the World Economic Forum's President Clinton went out to listen to them. He said, they're trying to tell us something. So I think it's like the canary in the mine. You know, they always used to have a canary in the mine because if there was any gas, the canary would die. And I think the young people are like our canary. So let's find out what they're saying because they might save us some trouble.
You focus on the individual. You have the corporate structure, many layered usually, but if the individual, you say, is happy, then the corporate can be transformed.
It's not so much happy, Steve, as self-aware. And I suppose almost like an inner peace. So I've sat beside managing directors of major global enterprises who cannot get their lieutenants in a room together because they so dislike each other that even though they run multi-billion dollar enterprises, they will not sit in a room and have a conversation. The way I've been able to get those people to sit in a room, not only have conversations but make key strategic decisions, is to get them to get some peace with themselves and each other and therefore make better decisions, be more rational. It's amazing how non-rational some of our corporate leaders can be.
Well, here's a very, I think, interesting question that you even pose yourself about this book, and I want to read your question. How can we use rapid, discontinuous change to make the world a better place? Now, that's filled with, seems like, all kinds of inconsistencies there.
So maybe if I just talk about my own personal experience, in my lifetime I've had periods where pretty much everything seems to have gone wrong. So at one stage my young daughter had an arrest and she stopped breathing and her heart stopped beating and I managed to keep her alive, breathing for her and pumping her heart. And I was a single mother. My father was dying of cancer, so I was nursing him. And I couldn't go to work because I was nursing people. So that was a difficult period for me, and I used it to learn to grow as a human being. I learned about myself, I learned about my patterns, I got clear about what I wanted, I clarified my values, and I actually did extra training. And it was on all of that learning that I based my corporate success. And I would never have had that corporate success if I hadn't have had that period of rapid discontinuous change. If so many things had not changed, which really just blew my life out of the water. Now, I'm not suggesting you go out and create these things. What I'm saying is it's happening anyway. You know, we've never had a higher divorce rate where people are losing their jobs at all sorts of levels. After the GFC, a lot of people lost their wealth. It's happening anyway. So we can sit in a corner and whinge and moan and complain, or we can go, how can we use this? And if we use it, we actually can grow in inner peace, we can grow in happiness, we can grow in relationship, we can grow in community, and what I have noticed is once we do that, the other things come back to us.
Your book, Approaching the Corporate Heart, then engages the reader's head, heart, and spirit. And you say if we'll do that, we'll be much more effective decision makers in life and even at work.
Absolutely. Well, if a dog has four legs, if it has and one leg's spirit and one leg's mind and one leg's emotion and one leg's body, and the dog only hops on one leg, it doesn't get very far. So, you know, the whole idea is we have these four pillars. Let's use them because it just makes us happier and more successful.
How can the poor help us?
So I had the great privilege of going to Soweto, which is in South Africa, and it's a slum. And they're not sure if 3 or 5 million people live there because life is so of so little value. An extra 2 million people really don't matter. But what I noticed there was the joy. And these people have absolutely nothing, and yet they have joy. And yet, you know, I go out to big corporate functions where people have absolutely everything. In fact, they probably have 10 of everything, and they don't have the joy. So I think there's a lot to learn about just being human from people that have absolutely nothing.
Well, how can I reverse my perspective on the way things are in ways that will enable me to be more effective? How does that work?
Okay. So most of us want life to go our way. We want life to be an easy ride. And when it isn't, we complain. But if we actually look at life as a learning, you know, it's an opportunity, it's an adventure, it's a learning adventure. That everything that happens to us, good, bad, or indifferent, is part of, it's a lesson that's come our way. And it's not a lesson like a teacher with a ruler. It's something that we want to learn. So if I want to learn to scuba dive, a lot of people come to Byron Bay and learn to scuba dive. You know, then everything I'm learning might even be facing the fear of putting on a mask and being in the water. That's a lesson for me to learn. I can learn about myself. I can learn. I can grow. I can get stronger. So a lot of people spend a lot of money going to personal development workshops. Actually, all you need to do is go to work or have a relationship because there's so much in there from which we can learn about ourselves, about other people, about life. And if we come from this attitude of how do we be more joyous, how do we be of service, how do we make this use this as an enriching experience, then everything that happens to us, everything is a blessing.
And that's what you call the essential you.
The essential you is that part of us that feels the way I just described. Yeah, it's really open to life. So a lot of people, I get people to do an exercise, when were they in their essential you, which is a part of us that's really the most human. And normally people say the birth of a child, maybe being out in nature. A lot of the men say it's when they saw their wife walk down the aisle. A lot of people remember childhood experiences. So it's this time when we really are in that place of human openness, joy, wonder, awe. And that actually is what the poor have to teach us because they spend a lot of time there because they've got nowhere else to go.
Your book is filled with a cast of characters, but this cast of characters is not any fictional characters. Make-believe, they are leaders of major organizations around the world. So how do they help us? What kind of stories do you tell?
Well, I tell real stories. I think the thing that surprised me most about world leaders is that they are very human. And a lot of the things that get in their way are the things that get in everybody's way. And they're often not rational things. They're often things that maybe, we call it a cognitive bias, but maybe a block that went into their brain when they were 2 or 3. And they're still acting it out in the boardroom at 50. And what the story shows, if you can find out what that block is and unlock it, then all sorts of possibilities open up. And one of the reasons I chose to work with world leaders is that if one of these guys, and they are mostly guys, unfortunately, although it is changing, but one of the reasons I chose to work with them is that if one of those guys changes, they affect millions of people. Their decisions affect millions. And that's been very gratifying for me to see that one person can change and have an impact on a vast number of other people. But it happens even if you're a worker on the floor. You know, if you change your attitude, you actually can change a whole factory or a whole office. And people have a lot more power than they realize, even the very powerful people.
Well, you work with all kinds of different clients, and you say that the work seems to make them feel personally helpful and inspired, and at the same time, they get much more out of it from their business perspectives.
Yes. So, Steve, the way our brain operates, we can either go down into our reptilian brain, which is all about fear, and that's where most people are most of the time, because that brain is triggered by change. And there's so much change now that most people are in that part of the brain most of the time. Or we can go up into our wise brain, which is our intellectual thinking, our executive reasoning, and our relationship emotional part of the brain. And what this book teaches us is how to go up into the wise brain, so how to go up into the brain that actually makes good decisions, works good relationships, doesn't operate out of fear, operates out of openness and possibility. And when people operate out of that part of their brain, just everything works better.
Margot, tell us how to get your book, Approaching the Corporate Heart.
Well, it's an e-book, so it's available on all the major e-channels, Amazon, through Balboa Press. Just go online, Google Approaching the Corporate Heart.
And do you have any closing thoughts?
Yes. I believe this could be the happiest time in history. I believe with what's happening with the internet, with what's happening with technology, if we actually learn to manage ourselves, if we learn to open our hearts, if we learn to operate in community, at home and at work, then we can make this world a paradise. That might sound a bit Pollyanna-ish, but I've seen it happen. I've seen horrible, nasty workplaces and industrial towns become places of great joy and community, and I'd really like to spread that.
The title of the book, Approaching the Corporate Heart, Breaking Through to New Horizons of Personal and Professional Success, and we've been listening to Margot Cannes of... Margot, thanks for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you, Steve.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.